RIFT Research and Development. Tax rewards for innovative small businesses. RIFTResearch.com.
If you need expert financial advice you can both understand and trust on your savings and investments, retirement planning, equity release or life and health insurance, talk to the experts at Facts and Figures Chartered Financial Planners. Phone 01233 722 922 or check them out at www.fffp.co.uk. Facts and Figures. Independent financial advice everyone can follow. www.fffp.co.uk.
I'm off my jack, keep your hands off my stack.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
Want more business? Make it happen by joining supplymybusiness.co.uk and start generating more business today for your Kent business.
Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker show on channelradio.co.uk and on kentbusinessradio.co.uk on this Tuesday, the 18th of October. We meet Paul Andrews and the famous Joe Dodds. Oh, and we got a nice new cup of coffee as well. Fantastic. Thank you, Bird.
Apart from me, I've just got more hot water in my old green tea, Bird's disgust.
You're always in hot water, you are, aren't you?
Yeah.
That does look pretty grim.
if you think that's grim, Nettie, you should have seen what they were quaffing earlier. Green sludge they had. They had a container of green sludge. And Bird was trying to fool me that it was black kale or something, but it looks horrible.
Disgusting.
Very healthy.
I had a cold
very
like that
healthy.
Once.
They didn't put her off. She's still going to have it.
Yeah, I know. She's very hardy.
Because if you have it, you don't get colds. That's the point.
Yeah, she's very hardy, is that young lady. That's for sure. So I'll tell you what, Joe, do you want to go with an email?
Yep, I've got a report about Laura's Ball at Leeds Castle. It raised a record amount of money for Breast Cancer Kent.
Okay.
8th of October, the charity based at Maidstone Hospital Breast Cancer Kent held a spectacular ball which raised over £18,000 to improve the lives of people diagnosed with breast cancer. Breast Cancer Kent is a local charity which funds state-of-the-art equipment for the breast care units of Maidstone and Tunbridge Wells hospitals. The equipment is breakthrough technology in the detection and treatment of breast cancer. So the ball is named after a committee member called Laura. She came up with the idea of holding a ball to raise money for the charity in 2014. And she organised the first one whilst battling her second round of breast cancer. And from her bed in the hospice, she dreamed of doing it again in 2015. Sadly, she lost her battle with breast cancer in the autumn of 2014. And so the ball is held in her memory to go on helping more people in Kent overcome their battle with cancer. So Breast Cancer Kent is run entirely by volunteers and every penny raised goes straight to the cause. It's made up of four consultants who are trustees and eight volunteers. And if you want to find out more, then please contact Helen Tear, T-E-A-R-E. And her email is helen at tear.eu, T-E-A-R-E.eu. That was a big clunk there, Bird, for that cup of tea.
It's because what's happened is we've populated the studio with far more microphones now.
Looks like the Triffids. It's
like an attack of the Triffids. So now if you move anywhere in this studio, it echoes through the microphones. Exactly. That's cool. Good, thank you. I've got loads more tweets coming in. I want to read a tweet. They haven't specifically asked for a tweet, but I'm going to tell you about them anyway, because they're very, very new. Not only are they new to Twitter, but they're new to business. And they only kind of started this morning, so I thought, well, I'll give them a tweet, get them on their way. So I want you all of our fabulous favourite followers, to give this new bunch a follow. And they're a crew called Leap Marketing. And their Twitter handle is Leap Kent, and they're a brand new marketing agency that's just started up. So do give them a follow, Leap Kent, L-E-A-P, Kent, all one word. Give them a follow on the Twitter, please, and drag them into the Business Bunker family so that they can find out what's going on in business in Kent and the southeast of England with all you lovely, lovely people that are out there.
He's gone a bit sort of soppy, hasn't he, just now?
Why?
Business Bunker family, all you lovely people out there, all that sort of thing.
I'm going to cry in a minute. I'll be told off. I've been told off. I've been told not to mention any more about that.
No, yeah. Exactly. Bird. She doesn't make her guests cry, don't worry.
No, okay. I'm sorry. Anyway.
That was just a runny nose, listener. That wasn't him sniffing.
It's a cold. Really. I'm not emotional.
Should have had more of that green sludge.
Yeah. We've had a tweet from Caroline and Liz, the Organic Sisters. It's lean, it's tasty, and it's in season, they say.
Ooh,
and they're talking about organic
black
venison.
Kale? No,
venison. Organic venison.
Lovely.
And they've haven't seen this hashtag for a while, and I think they haven't seen me for a bit because they've hashtagged it Paul Business Bunker snake hips. Now that was a hashtag going around a few years ago when I lost a lot of weight. I don't think they've seen me for a while, have they? Snake hips doesn't really do it
anymore. Shall we think of a new one?
Yeah, I think you need a new one. But anyway, that's Riverfield _ Kent. And they provide organic veg boxes and food and meat and all kinds of things, and they deliver it to your door anywhere in Kent. So do give them a follow on the Twitter, Riverfoot _Kent, and they've got some tasty organic venison on offer right at this moment.
Do they call themselves the Organic Sisters, or is that just your name for them?
No, that's my name for them.
Yeah, just checking.
Yeah, and sometimes I get that wrong as well.
I can imagine.
I trip over the word organic. Orgasmic. Bird, Orgasmic Sisters.
I didn't need spelling out, really. Well, I thought she was giving you a look. But...
I thought I would, you know, because I'm in one of those moods today. That's the problem.
Yeah. Moving on.
Yeah, I would.
So I've got an email here, which is very lengthy, so I'm going to try and skim through the important bits. Okay. But it looks quite interesting. Government to help UK musicians expand global audience through music exports. That sounds quite funky, doesn't
it?
The Department for International Trade relaunches a scheme in partnership with the BPI to help acts from across the UK achieve global recognition. Through Exporting is Great, up to 2.8 million will be made available in grants to help British acts and independent labels export their music to overseas markets. Over 100 artists helped to date, including previous recipients Catfish and the Bottlemen. You ever heard of them? Oh, that's good. No. Bird's nodding. She's trendy, she is. Esker, Young Fathers, Getz, African Boy and Public Service Broadcasting. Britain's aspiring musicians are set to benefit from a 2.8 million boost to build their global brand. UK music has a long history of inspiring millions across the world and influencing generations of artists. We're the second biggest exporter of music in the world, and one in every six albums sold globally belongs to a British act, says International Trade Minister Mark Garnier. From Beatles to Skepta, British music is part of the very fabric of our nation and heritage. Our music export growth scheme will champion the incredible raw talent that we have to offer by giving the support and financial backing many artists need to take that next step. So Meg's funding will be available until 2020, with the first round of nominations opening on the 10th of October. Continuing the previous partnership, the BPI will operate the scheme and will help with the selection of ambitious UK music companies and projects that will receive grants. Application forms are now available from the BPI's website. So if you go to HTTPS... I don't think you need that really, actually. Do the other bit and then it might ask you to log in or something. www.bpi.co.uk/megs, megs.aspx. The deadline for the first wave of applications is the 7th of November and the first announcements will be made in December 2016. So that sounds exciting if you've got some talent, like Paul.
Fantastic.
He wasn't listening, was he?
I was, yeah. I'm still trying to work out on... No, don't worry.
Are you going to sing Happy Birthday or not?
Well, have you seen that tweet?
No, but earlier there was one.
Yeah, well, they just tweeted again. It's Joetten from Petty Canapes, and she's saying, I really can't wait to hear Paul sing Happy Birthday.
Why are you doing an impression of a seal?
I've no idea. I'm getting happy clappy. I'm building myself up to it. I'm working myself up to a rendition. Yeah. What do you reckon?
I reckon our guests think that you're really mad.
No, well, that's beyond any shadow of a doubt.
But, yes. No, I reckon you should. Go on, sing Happy Birthday. Go
no,
on.
If you think I'm singing Happy Birthday on my own, that I'm not. If you all agree to join in, and I don't mean me start and then you just all laugh at me. Yeah. If you all join in, then we'll do it, but otherwise not.
He's nearly there, Denise. Keep sending in the messages. Yeah, who else was trying to
persuade
you?
They're trying to goad me into it on Twitter.
Can't you hear? He's nearly there.
They're ganging up on me. Jackie Offin, she's another one that's going to start as well if we're not careful. Jackie has tweeted in and she says, hey, Paul, give us a shout out for JJ Systems. That's their Twitter handle. They're one of the great IT support companies in Kent.
I'll give Jackie a shout as well.
What are you?
Yeah, I like Jackie.
Yeah, we all like Jackie. She's lovely.
Yeah. I'm loving the fact that Bird's hopped up to do a Facebook Live just in case you do sing.
Yeah, is that why? Is that why she's doing it? Is that why she's doing it?
I guess so, yeah.
I'm going to start a campaign, why. Please don't sing.
Oh, brilliant. Yeah. And Leap Kent, you mentioned them earlier. Yeah. He sent a message now, or they've sent a message now, saying we've just found our new weekly ritual. Awesome show, guys. So thank you.
Oh, thank you, Leap.
Yeah.
Did give them a follow.
Yeah. I'm not on it every week, but, you know, most of them.
No, so it's all right. It gets better, is what she's saying. blimey. We got loads of stuff. Anyway, we'll come back to some tweets in a minute. Mm-hmm. Bromley Curry and Beer Networking. As most of you will know, we hold one of our popular curry and beer networking nights at least once a month throughout Kent, London and the South East. We provide a light-hearted approach to networking as well as an ideal opportunity for local companies, business owners and service providers to mix, mingle and discuss local opportunities and exchange business cards. Curry is also on the menu. Enjoy a sumptuous, spicy meal at some of the finest Indian restaurants. You will receive a free drink, selection of starters, followed by a main course of your choice with rice and breads, all for just £20. The next curry and beer is in Bromley on the 27th of October, and it's at the Raj Moni, and that's Bromley BR1 3PA. You can book your place by going to the website of the people that organise it, and the people that organise it, confusingly, are called Cane and Beer.
That's
so it's
right,
Curry and Beer and Cane and Beer. And Cane and Beer are the company that organise Curry and Beer. Okay. Yeah. Presumably Cane doesn't like curry. I don't know. Anyway, Cane and Beer, caneandbeer.com/curry and beer is where you want to go if you want to book your place for a £20 curry at the Raj Moni on the 27th of October.
Lovely. Mm. Well, I've got a LinkedIn masterclass here, which I think I read out last week as well. So if you're interested in finding out more about LinkedIn, the Wealden Business Group are running a workshop. It's a 2-hour workshop on the 2nd of November. With social media expert Malik Zubair, and he will be explaining why LinkedIn is particularly effective for business and how you can get involved. The course is being held at the Kent and East Sussex Railways Station Refreshment Room in Tenterden, and it's open to non-members at £25 per ticket, including breakfast, but places are limited. So if you want to find out about using LinkedIn for business, then you can contact Justin Nelson, the chairman, and his email is justin@nelsonslegal.co.uk.
Fantastic. Some woman's just texting me her phone number.
Ooh. Is she nice?
What, for when she's late? Oh, yeah.
Is she really,
shows?
Really nice?
Oh, yeah.
Does she work at Rift Accounting?
I don't know, does she?
Yeah.
Hey, I've got some good news.
Go on, then.
Apart from that, I've got some good news. Former Thames Steel site in Sheerness is to be reopened.
Oh, yeah.
The steelworks, which shut down 4 years ago, is to reopen under new management. Liberty House, the new company, they intend to manufacture rod and bar at the mills at Sevenoaks, which is what they were manufacturing there before. The Thames Steel Mill in Briel Way, Sheerness, closed 4 years ago with a loss of 350 jobs. They hope to be back in production by mid-2017. They're still in the process of negotiating a new lease on the original site, but Liberty House are reopening the Thames Steel site in Sheerness. That's good, isn't it?
It's good. Mm.
That's really good news. Mm. Yeah. Joe, you can do one more, and then we're going to talk to our next guest.
Can I? You're so Nettie. Kind. So we've had a message from...
Someone.
I've just forgotten his name. Alan Noke at the Ice Lab, a new online gift shop for Powell Cotton Museum. Take a look at www.powell-cotton-shop.co.uk. The latest offering from the Ice Lab, a new gift shop for the Powell Cotton Museum based at Quex Park in Birchington, Kent. They stock a range of museum souvenirs as well as selling online tickets for various events.
Fantastic.
Sorry, was that a short one? Should I have gone for a long
one? No, it's perfect. No, that was absolutely perfect because it's now an absolute pleasure to welcome our next guest into the Counting House section of the Business Bunker Show. We have the delightfully gorgeous, lovely... newly texted phone number of...
Because she's always late.
And I go, where are you? Nettie Bunn.
Good afternoon.
Hello, Nettie. How are you?
I'm very good. You?
I'm very well, thank you. Good. And you have very kindly brought along with you this afternoon.
I always bring you a really, really good
guest. You bring
good,
us the best.
Yeah. I do.
And we certainly have the best this afternoon. You brought us along the lovely Nadine Monks. Hello, Nadine.
Hi there.
You're going to need to get quite close to that purpley thing.
Closer.
And Nadine is from Evolution Forces Families.
Yes, that's right.
Fantastic.
And it's a radio debut again.
Oh, is it?
You know how I'm always doing this.
Yeah, I was going to say something there, but it's obviously National Innuendo Day today or something. So I'm just going to avoid all
just
of that.
Just don't
now.
Do it.
I'm just not going to do there. It.
Appreciate that.
Yeah. So who should we start with first?
Let Nadine tell you a little bit about what
you
Nadine
only said
does.
That because she's just taken a slurp of her
no,
coffee.
I knew she'd put that down.
Good. Well, let's hear from Nadine first. Nadine, why don't you give us a bit of background to you and the organisation that you've got going there, Evolution Forces Family. Tell us what it's about and give us some background to it.
Yeah, sure. So,
we've got a trainer with the microphone.
Sorry, we're all assaulting her with a microphone. Shoving microphones in her face and stuff.
You're warned, I'm a newbie. So Evolution Forces Families is basically a financial services company with a military specialism.
Oh, okay.
I've always worked in financial services, literally sort of as a Saturday girl, getting myself through college and just went straight into it, really.
Right.
And then I met my husband about 15 years ago.
And your husband's in the forces?
He is.
Which branch?
I'm sorry?
Which branch of the forces?
He's in the Royal Engineers.
Okay.
I kind of moved my career around with him as and when postings and things occurred. Did various different sort of guises of the same job for large brokerage, small brokerage, independents, estate agents, banks, etc. And then around 2008, when the recession hit and we got posted abroad, I started to kind of reevaluate what I wanted to do with the skills and the knowledge that I'd sort of put together, and really kind of took some time out and immersed myself within the community. And it was then that I started to hear lots of conversations at coffee mornings on the school run, all that kind of thing. I thought, wow, there's a lot of people here that need help and advice around their finances and they don't know where to go to.
Sure.
And a lot of that is really a knock-on effect of the mobility of our lifestyles in that you're not familiar with your local high street because you don't have one.
Yeah.
Your friends and family, who they would recommend, they're 200-300 miles away.
Yeah.
You can't ask your friends because your friends are all in the same boat because they've just moved as well.
Yeah.
And you need someone that you can trust.
Sure.
And there wasn't always necessarily someone there at that base or camp that you needed. So it was when I kind of really started to develop the idea. I've at the same time when I was in the banks a long time ago, I also met Rebecca Robertson, who I'm sure you're familiar with.
We all know Becca.
Evolution for Women.
Can't avoid her, yeah.
And we kind of put our heads together and I said, look, this is what I want to do. She was already doing Evolution for Women and she was really supportive of my idea.
Right.
And then I kind of branched off and started doing my own thing. And now here I am. Run an Evolution Forces Families, and we do a whole host of stuff, really, for the community. I run financial education workshops, we do networking groups, we do blogging, we do all kinds of stuff. And it's really, in terms of our community, that's sort of quite behind the times with technology and stuff, it's quite innovative.
So when you say community, you mean Forces Families, full stop, wherever they are?
Basically. Tri-service, and not just serving members, veteran. We're trying to reach out to the veteran community as well.
Yeah, absolutely. It's something that I'm really conscious of, aware of, and get on a bit of a soapbox about, especially if you look on social media with some of the nonsense that people post there. It's an odd thing, isn't it, for a sophisticated, advanced society, there isn't actually a lot of good knowledge about finances, just basic finances. Mm-hmm. You know, the amount of people that will borrow money on a credit card and you go, what are you doing? Mm-hmm. You know, and I've had discussions with people that have gone the other way as well, that said, do you know what, I'm never going to borrow money. And you go, no, that's very good. And they go, I'm not taking a mortgage. And you go, no, that's very bad. And they go, nope, I don't want to borrow money. You go, no, you can borrow money on a mortgage, you just don't want to borrow it on a credit card. Basic knowledge of basic financial skills is one of those things that sadly it's not taught anywhere anyway, which isn't surprising. But as you quite rightly said, with forces families, is there's a particular level of issue there as well, where you're constantly moving around. You don't put roots down outside of your own community, and forces communities aren't about finances or anything like that.
Mm. I guess you also have that other consideration in lots of cases where they have they live on the patch and that sort of thing, that they don't always think about the idea of investing in property, and then they leave the army, they've not got anywhere
Absolutely.
Other than rental
and
all that sort of
and
thing.
And that's something that I feel really passionate about. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, there's... How true the statistics are, I don't know, but it's quite publicised that there's a really high demographic of sort of homeless veterans in the UK.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, it's my own personal belief that a lot of the problems that lead up to that point where they become homeless is due to lack of preparation for when they come out, which can lead to all kinds of problems, relationship breakdown, financial difficulties, which in turn lead on to these much bigger social problems.
Sure.
So it's my belief to sort of start off the planning and the knowledge and the awareness as early as possible in someone's career, ready for that and to improve outcomes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how do you deliver these services, given that it is a geographic spread of potential clients?
Yeah, sure. So at the moment, I'm sort of touring to different major garrisons. I was in Catterick last week. I do a lot locally.
You should have gone and see my best friend up there. In fact, you probably did. We'll have a conversation later about that.
I'm not going to make any comment about you going around the country, going to various... forces camps. I'm just,
are we
just
going
not.
Back to
Yeah.
Just carry on. Yeah. So you've been to Catterick.
Obviously, I do a lot in Chatham, which is where we're based at the moment. We're hoping to do Hampshire. I've also got another advisor on the team who's represents the Navy, so she's in Portsmouth. Mm-hmm. So the plan is very much to grow the team. We've actually been awarded the Bronze Employer Recognition for the Armed Forces Covenant, where everybody within the team is either a military spouse or a veteran, and it's really important for me to sort of keep growing the love within, because it's not just the empathy
absolutely.
And the connection we have with our clients.
Yeah. Well, it's understanding.
It's providing the opportunity, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love businesses like yours because they are very highly focused on a niche, solving a problem, but solving a problem that you understand from a customer's point of view. And that's the key thing about this, isn't it? Mm-hmm. You've arrived at where you've arrived at with your business because of your own experiences being in their position.
Yes. Absolutely.
Now, you're lucky because you're an experienced financial professional and you're going, well, look, if it affects me, what about all these people that aren't experienced financial professionals? It must affect them. Mm. So I love, it's called, nowadays we call it a long-tail business. And you've got a long-tail business that is absolutely fabulous because you understand your customers, you know what they want, you can see the issues that need resolving. But you can do that in a conventional way. Yeah, because I guess you're not off from a financial point of view, you're not offering anything that anybody else couldn't get at.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's just tailoring it to what I believe are the needs of the audience, and you know, we've adjusted things along the way to feedback.
Sounds like you do something more broad than just say this is what you should be doing with money or whatever. But
obviously you've got the traditional financial advice. I think probably what makes us a little bit different is that I'm very lucky to work with a compliance team that are quite forward thinking in terms of it enables me to do a lot of work remotely and digitally, which is financial services you don't really do, generally speaking. So that allows me to work with clients that are in two different time zones or who are in different places geographically. Mm. And that happens quite a lot. It's not unusual for me to be midway mortgage application and someone gets sent off to Canada or Cyprus, and then we've got to kind of work out a way of comms.
Absolutely.
So,
What I wanted to ask you, Nadine, without giving away any client confidentialities, obviously, what's the primary kind of thing that you're dealing with your client base on? Is it providing mortgages, or is it just, you know, getting them out of debt, or you know what, or loans, or is it abroad?
It's so broad, and I think it would probably be true for any kind of business owner to say, a lot of the time, what you put out there in terms of like your promotion or your focus at that time tends to be what comes back.
Sure.
But at the moment, it's a huge. I mean, it's on the government. Individual home ownership is massive. They're really trying to promote and push it. And I think, you know, with a lot of uncertainty at the moment within the forces, I think people are now actually starting to vote with their feet a lot more with that as well.
Sure. Can we just kind of focus on that a minute? Because something Joe said earlier, which was absolutely right, and you touched on, of course. that a lot of people in the forces are given housing on a barracks or a base or an airfield or whatever branch of the services they're in. And certainly in the early days, a lot of people don't really think about homes. Are you finding that more service personnel are actually investing in their own homes, even if they don't live in them? Or is that not something that's happening?
Yeah, and there's definitely a lot more people that are certainly considering it. Yeah. Whereas before, it wasn't even on the agenda. And just that in itself is an important step. Yeah. So but at least have it in the back of your mind. We need to start looking at this, or we need to start thinking about it.
Or saving for a mortgage deposit or something.
Well, what I find interesting as well is you would imagine, my only experience of the forces really has been at the sort of major level. My daughter was at school with a number of service children, so we got to know that sort of community, and you would imagine they would, because of where they've come from and who they are and everything else, would have thought that stuff through and had done that. But actually, when I think about the people we know, they're probably in exactly the same position. One or two families have bought and they've now moved away and everything else and live in their own houses, but a lot of them actually haven't still bought something. And so you sort of imagine it's a...
It's without being overly prescriptive. And exactly. And my ex-wife, she was her father was in the forces and she travelled all over the world. And exactly the same kind of issue. He was a wing commander in the Air Force, a really bright man, a really lovely man. But for a long time, didn't think about it until quite a long time into his career. Yeah. And I think a lot of that, though, is because a lot of people enter the forces for this sense of adventure, for this, world travel and all the rest of it. And you don't go, do you know what? Let's buy a house in Strood.
No.
But some people never think that.
What is the matter with them?
No idea.
But also with that, it was sort of job for life stuff as well. Number of years ago, you would never have imagined that you would be making army personnel or forces personnel redundant. And so that's made a big change as well, hasn't it?
Absolutely.
The people had a plan and their plans have been changed.
And the benefits aren't as good. They've had a big review of the pension scheme. Yeah. There's lots of stuff like that that are making people kind of, look at the bigger picture, I guess.
Yeah. Sure, absolutely.
Yeah.
Really, really helpful and really good timing to be doing that sort of thing.
Really loving what you're doing, Nadine. It's as I say, it's a perfect type of niche business, but it's a big niche as well. It's not a small niche.
We were saying earlier, wasn't we? It's massive. Where do you stop with that?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, for some reason, I don't know why I know this, but I just do. You mentioned about homelessness amongst ex-forces personnel. It's particularly bad in the US. In US forces, a huge percentage of homeless people on the streets in the US are veterans. And nowadays, of course, there's quite a few disabled veterans as well, with active service injuries that they've acquired while on service and supporting the country. So it is crucial that we give those people support. And in all kinds of ways, there isn't a huge amount of support out there. It's the same with jobs. I know the army, for instance, because I used to work with them over in Chatham at Fort Horsted. Had a unit there whose job it was to try to help leaving members of the armed forces into work, but they kind of struggled with that. It's not easy. Although forces personnel are in great demand in civilian life because they tend to have had really superb training. They're very disciplined and they're pretty reliable as well, unlike some other people, but it's just, again, it's being aware, isn't it, of what's out there, because their life has been geared to an ordered and dare I pun it, regimented way of looking at things.
Well, yeah, I mean, you say that they're in demand. I think it works the other way, that people make prejudiced assumptions that they are rigid and too much about command and control and everything else, which when you actually start to dig is not the case,
not
but
true.
That's what people think,
and absolutely.
Then it puts them off, doesn't it?
And I have to say as well, where the focus of my business has been is that whilst I still don't think there's enough, there is quite a lot out there for the actual serving person, but it's actually often the spouse or the dependent that's very much left in the dark and overlooked.
And they call them a trailing spouse, don't they, which is just
or
bad in the first place.
Which is a bit cringe.
It's all cringe, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's like, great, I feel really important now.
Yeah. There were a lot of...
It could be worse. They could just call them camp followers, couldn't they?
Highly qualified, spouses, dependents, partners, whatever you want to call them, that kind of follow this person around around, and they deserve just as much as a positive future as everybody else.
Of course.
And, and they're forgotten about. So it's really, that's why I've called it Forces Families, because it's about capturing everybody within that unit that is affected by military life, really.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
I love what you're doing. We could talk about it forever, Nadine, but sadly we're kind of running out of time. Give us a shout for anyone out there that wants to find out more about the work that you're doing. How can they find you on your website, Twitter account, Facebook page, whatever you want to use?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. So Twitter handle is EFF_HQ, or you can get the website, which is www.evolutionforcesfamilies.co.uk. If there is anyone of serving personnel or veteran communities, if you know anyone in the local area, I am actually doing a house buying workshop on Tuesday, the 1st of November, and that will be advertised, locations and details on the site as well.
Okay, if you let us know, we'll promote it on the website and on the show and on our social media accounts as well.
Super, thank you.
Fantastic. Nadine Monks of Evolution Forces, thank you so much for joining us.
Cheers, thank you for having me.
Pleasure. I want to talk to Nettie now.
Do you?
Yeah, not really, but
well,
I will.
No. Feelings mutual. No, see, that was a different guest again, you see, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
I really like, one of the things I love doing, Nadine, is finding the real diverse bits of my clients. And we've had some interesting guests, but you're the first engineer's wife.
Absolutely.
What do you reckon?
Yeah.
No, but in fairness, you know, Nadine, and I'm sure she won't mind me saying this, you know, we've worked together for the last few months, haven't we, with your business and how it works and how it grows and whatever. And we've had some really good chats. And, and it's all that learning curve as well about, you know, working together and working in partnership.
Absolutely.
So it really is about always surrounding yourself with people.
Yeah, absolutely. And different people doing different things.
Yeah.
And that spreads the net. It gets people involved in different things. It sparks more creativity, you know, because people could look at the kind of things that Nadine's doing and say, do you know what? I could model that in my sphere, in my field, in the area that I kind of know about. So you're absolutely right. And that's one of the many reasons we love having you on, Nettie, is that you do bring us some interesting guests.
I do.
Eventually.
What do you mean when I turn up?
When you turn up.
I've always turned up.
That is true. That is true. I did say, to be fair, I did say to everyone, Nettie's always late. She always comes in the second half of the show.
Diva. I've told you.
I know.
I told you before. So, anyway, we want to talk about the Unconference.
We do. I was going to say, we need to talk about so many other things that you're up to, and one of them coming up is the Unconference.
It is.
So why don't you tell us all a little bit about the Unconference?
Well, I can tell you a bit, but I can't tell you too much.
It's a big secret.
It's a big secret.
Yeah.
The annual... Mm. We can call it that now.
We can now, because it's the second year.
The annual Unconference this year is on the 17th of November, and I'm very excited about it. I'm not going to give too much away, except for the fact that I'm not making this up. Please order your tickets through Eventbrite, because we don't actually start advertising it properly until next week, and half of them have gone, and there's 110 up
Somebody
for grabs.
Somebody nick them.
No, they actually ordered them. But I can give you more of a feel of what we did last year, which I think will give a bit of an idea.
It was cracking.
It was brilliant. We started the show with a Grammy Award-winning singer, did we not?
Yeah, that was me.
It was not. It was someone really good. And then
and
last
they weren't
year
just singing
we
happy birthday.
Last year we actually had the guy who sorted Unconferences out in the States, and he joined us on Skype, which was quite funny in hindsight, because it was probably about 3 o'clock in the morning in Boston, wasn't it? And I'm not sure he was dressed above what we could
have
below.
He was wearing his PJs.
Definitely wearing his PJs.
Yeah,
but this year we're not doing that. This year we've got some really interesting guests and workshops going on. So we've got the wonderful Steve Otterwill from Otterwill's Jewelers, who's done things like the Olympic torch. And I was talking about him earlier. He's just making a gold staircase for a yacht in Barcelona at the moment.
As you would.
Like you do.
Yeah.
We've got Toby Roy from Catch IT in Herne Bay, brilliant growing company. But we've also got the guy who put together Just Eat.
Right, okay.
As well as people like Zoe Cairns, Amy McManus, so on, doing workshops for us, and other people as well. But next month's show, which I will be on time for, is completely for the Unconference.
Fantastic, yeah, absolutely. I chaired the Unconference last year. That was scary.
Well, one of the things that's scary is we don't know what's going to happen.
Just so you're just making things up as you go along, though, Paul. I can't
No, we
that
don't
that
make it up
at all.
As we go along.
Paul
really,
does.
No, he doesn't. It really does have an agenda, but it's a very...
Yeah. But it was interesting last year because I walked out on stage to start the thing and you just didn't know who was going to be there, if anyone was going to say anything, if anybody was going to join in or do anything. We had Chris Searle, as you said, who gave us a rendition of a fabulous song.
Yeah.
And then Steve joined us from Boston because they wouldn't let him in the country.
Can't make it up.
Really. Yeah. The guy had just opened a massive pharmaceutical company in Sandwich. And the government wouldn't let him into the country. Yeah, they went, oh, no, we don't want you coming here.
No, you
coming here, creating jobs and making businesses. God, don't want any of that. So that's why he wasn't live. And we had to wake him up in the middle of the night and go, speak to us on Skype. But it was a fabulous event. And we've kind of grown from there because it was the first attempt last year. We didn't know what was going to happen. It was really interesting. And now we've kind of moved it on for the second in the series of annual events.
Well, I looked at the staff this week and we had 75 people go last year. Bearing in mind we've nearly got rid of that many tickets already and we haven't actually advertised yet.
Yeah.
Got rid of? That Get doesn't sound of. Right.
I told you they nicked them.
Go on, have one.
Have one.
But they're only available on Eventbrite, so we know who you are if you order one.
Yeah.
And that's important as well because we want to know who's in the room because there will be certain people we may well go after to do certain things on the day.
Oh, you're being stalked. Do you know any details at all yet, Nettie, whether there's costs involved?
It's free. It's on Eventbrite. I've sent the link through, but if you go to Eventbrite and if you put in eventbrite.com, it's /e/unconference 2016, or you can go onto the My Biz Canterbury website and it's all on there as well. But the tickets are free through Eventbrite, but we are going to get all the tickets gone through Eventbrite. So I'm not saying if you turned up on the day we'd turn you away, but
we need to know who's going to be there. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And you can follow, if I get this right, you can follow Start My Biz.
Yep. Or Grow My Biz.
Or Grow My Biz _ on the Twitter.
Yeah.
Both of those are part of Canterbury City Council and they're the main sponsors of
the show.
So follow them in partnership with us and this company
called Business Bunker.
Exactly.
Have you heard of them?
No.
Paul Andrews.
No.
Strange.
No. Dodgy lot. Yeah. Don't want to go near them. So you can follow Rift Accounting or Business Bunker on the Twitter and all of those organisations will be promoting this over the next few weeks and obviously we'll all be there on the day if we manage to book our tickets.
I've got one.
Have you?
Yeah.
I haven't.
Oh, that's a shame.
Yeah. You're not going to let me in now, are you? They are going to get there and go, nope, you can't come in. You've got no ticket.
Are.
Cool.
Yeah.
So what else are you up to, Nettie?
Just the usual, really.
Right, okay. Just working hard.
Just working hard. Doing all the non-traditional things that we do.
Yep. As non-traditional accountants.
No, we're busy. We've got lots going on. It's an interesting time. Really interesting time. What's really good for us is we've done a bit of a review recently and how many of the businesses that we're working with are growing, what they're now needing, whether that's bookkeeping services, different sort of business planning, etc., etc. And that's a good thing because if businesses are now growing, it's, you know, the economy's doing the right things.
I just want a quick rant about that.
Go on then.
Because I saw...
Well, do you not want businesses growing?
Yeah, no, I do. That's exactly what... And I'm just sick and tired of watching people naysay and tell us everything's going down the tubes when it isn't. It is not going down the tubes. It's going totally the other way. The only thing that's dropped is the value of the pound. That was a flash crash that caused it. And I won't go into that, but a flash crash is when a computer program goes rogue. And that's all that happened with that. Everything else is growing. The economy's growing. We're going to do some FSB news in a minute about growth in businesses. There's lots of positive things happening in the market.
There are. And I would say as well, locally, one of the biggest problems I'm coming across is actually recruiting people.
Yeah, it's really hard.
You know, people are that busy that actually to recruit good staff is getting harder and harder. And it's not because they're all rubbish out there. They're just not there. They're employed.
There's not enough. We have massive skill shortages. You know that I own Jobs in Kent and we run Jobs in Kent. We have massive skill shortages.
Apprenticeships. Yeah. You know, we've got two or three that we would love to give at Rift and we just can't find
the targets on apprenticeships, wait for this, are to have 3 million new apprenticeships by 2020.
I can't find three.
I know. And it's really difficult to get people to fill those jobs.
Yeah.
I'm spending more and more time in schools talking to pupils and their parents.
Yeah, parents.
It's normally parents that are the problem. Mm-hmm. Trying to encourage them to, for where it suits their their offspring to go into apprenticeships rather than university.
Yeah.
The statistics are very clear on this now. The average earnings of an apprentice are now greater than a graduate.
Yeah.
And you don't have a debt of 40 grand either, and you get paid to learn. But you can get a degree. What most people don't realise, if you do a level 7 apprenticeship, it's a degree. It's a degree programme.
You can start an apprenticeship in your 60s.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, you don't have to be a 17, 18-year-old. I don't, yeah, but not at RIF for you.
I was just about to apply. I thought she was hinting there, Bird. I thought she was going, you can start an apprenticeship at 60, and we're looking for apprentices. And I was just about to dash off and apply for it.
All of that is true. All of that is true. We are looking for apprentices, and you can do it when you're 60 or older.
And you're not going to be doing it there. All of that's true. Yeah.
But also, you've got the levy coming in next year for employers and so on. So it's going to change the whole culture. Yeah. And I think you will be seeing people who are establishing businesses going back into apprenticeship schemes to get qualifications and so on.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's an interesting time.
Absolutely. Mm. You're quite right. Give us a shout for your website, Nettie.
It's riftaccounting.com.
Fantastic. So do follow them. They've got some fabulous blogs on there as well.
I was going to say, have a good look through the blogs, have a look through some of the literature. Nadine and I were only talking about the literature today. It's so useful for startup businesses.
Absolutely.
Anybody who's got questions, just anything around
Rift tweet them out a lot. We tweet them out a lot. We tweet out lots of blogs about all kinds of things, from flat rate VAT to excuses.
You love my excuses.
I do.
Excuses,
I tweet that a lot. They're all great blogs with loads of information and different types of information about starting your own business, being self-employed, some of the basics that you need to cover for that, which are really important, and then some of the more esoteric stuff about developing your business, marketing a business, and growing a business.
Yeah. And none of it's about what the man in the pub says to do.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the useful.
That's the key thing.
That man in the pub. I'm always talking about even my clients know about the man in the pub.
He talks rubbish, that bloke.
He really does.
Nettie, for the moment, thank you so much for joining us once again on the Business Monk Show. It's an absolute pleasure, as always, to talk to you. And I think what we'll do now is the
Channel Radio News Update.
We'll do the news update with news from the Federation of Small Business, I think, Joe.
Okay, so spending watchdog lifts lid on red tape. FSB is concerned the government's drive to bear down on the burden of red tape on UK businesses is not delivering enough gains for business, following a Public Accounts Committee report out on Wednesday. The report found the government has made little progress towards its target of reducing red tape by £10 billion by 2020, and FSB evidence was cited by the PAC.
Fantastic. As I was just saying, there's a report from the FSB. There's a record number of new small and medium-sized enterprises. The number of small businesses in the UK has now grown to 5.5 million.
Wow.
The business population estimates show that at the start of 2016, the UK had 1 million more small businesses, 4,000 more medium-sized businesses, and 900 more large businesses compared to 2010. That's an increase of 23%.
Surely that's positive news, isn't
that
it?
That is very positive news, isn't it? So what do people start putting out today? Self-employed people earn less. Oh, get over yourselves, for goodness sake.
So UK firms investing more in intangible assets. UK firms invested 9% more in intangible assets in 2014 than in traditional bricks and mortar assets, research from the Intellectual Property Office has revealed. The total amount spent on intangible assets during the year, including spend on research and development, was £133 billion. And the proportion of UK firms' intangible assets covered by intellectual property rights increased from 50% in 2011 to 53% in 2014. You can read more about the research at the government website, gov.uk. I would suggest you search for intangible assets, because it's a rather long URL.
Yeah. Retailers are being urged to use the new training material for the new £5 note. I've got my own tip. Don't iron them.
Yes, you
they
said.
They shrink.
Shrink.
Yeah.
Shrink
the Association of Convenience Stores has urged retailers to make full use of the Bank of England's training materials about the new £5 banknote, which is made of a polymer, which is a thin, flexible plastic, and went into circulation on the 13th of September 2016. According to ACS, the new checks needed to identify fake £5 banknotes will be the biggest change for retailers. The new £5 banknote features a number of innovative security features that staff must check for, including a 3D coronation crown, a see-through window, and a holographic foil patch. In addition, most cash handling machines, including self-service checkouts and ATMs, will need a software update, and some cash handling practices may need amending. You can read more about the new £5 note at acs.org.uk/polymer5banknotes. That's acs.org.uk/polymer.
Consultation on music licensing and tariffs in the retail sector. PRS for Music is running a consultation on the charging structure used to license the use of copyright music within the retail sector. They're proposing a new tariff, the scope of which will cover the use of background music within retail premises and during in-store events. You can click to... You can't click to access. I'll tell you the URL. You can go online to access...
Go on, try and click on the radio. Go on, go on, go on, go on.
To access the consultation paper and provide your feedback. So if... This is a really long URL. I'm not going to give you the whole thing. It's prs4music.com. And... you could probably search for retail tariff consultation.
And we'll put it on the Business Monkey website anyway, so you can find it.
Exactly.
There's a digital boot camp at the Gherkin.
Yes.
Mm. Kent and Medway FSB are running a digital boot camp at the Gherkin on Monday, the 31st of October. It's in the morning from 8:30 till 12. Hold up. Everything in the business world is changing. Driven by disruptive new business models and innovative technology, the digital landscape of today often frightens executives and leaders who are struggling to make informed decisions, business decisions, in context of new technology and digital trends. And knowing common techie terms gives credibility as a leader, broadens your knowledge base, and allows you to ask the right questions and make the right decisions. Understanding the context of your industry and its response to digital advances will allow you to craft a technical strategy to dominate your sector. This is a two-hour intensive interactive workshop at a stunning location. If you'd like to book your tickets, you go to eventbrite.co.uk/digital bootcamp at the Gherkin. Or if you come to kentbusinessradio.co.uk and click on the FSB tab, there is a link to the booking page there.
New government funding competition to develop new technologies. Businesses can apply for a share of £15 million to develop technologies to stimulate future products, services and industries invested by Innovate UK. Projects are expected to range from total costs of £35,000 to £2 million. And you can read more detail here. Another underlined word. So you can't read more detail. Again, go to the FSB website and do a search for, I guess, government funding, and Innovate UK might be a good thing to search for, and the links will be on our website. But if you've got any queries, you can contact Charlotte Chung, and that's charlotte.chung@fsb.org.uk.
Cool. More coinage related news from the FSB. The new £1 coin, which is due to come along just to cause mayhem. The new £1 coin will start circulation in March 2017. You can find out more information on the Royal Mint website, which includes a recently added list of coin handling equipment manufacturers that have undertaken coin validation equipment testing with sample coins. This allows businesses to see which manufacturers are moving forward with their planning. Because just to be awkward, the government are introducing multi-sided £1 coins.
How much will they be worth?
About 90p.
Okay.
The first ones
but
will
for
be worth
you,
loads.
£1.10.
So does your small business have a big heart? In the small business sector, business is not simply about profit and loss. Many business owners support their local communities, and acts of kindness and generosity can slip under the radar. A national campaign started by businessforsale.com is looking for small businesses, the small businesses with the biggest heart in the UK. There's £1,000 up for grabs and the chance to take home the Small Business Big Heart Award for your region. Winners will be presented their awards at the Small Business Saturday bus tour when it comes to their nearest town. You can nominate a business by going to surveymonkey.co.uk/r/small-business-big-heart.
Fantastic. I've got an events roundup now. I'm going to flash through this quickly and tell you when things are, but the actual details of each of the things and the ability to book them can all be found on the FSB tab on the kentbusinessradio.co.uk website. But coming up on the 20th of October, that's this Thursday, an introduction to direct marketing and data protection, and that's being held in Maidstone. On the 25th of October, there's Kickstart Your Export Success, and that's hosted by UKTI, that's the UK Department of Trade and Industry, in conjunction with the FSB, and again, that is in Maidstone. On the 2nd of November, no, that's wrong. It's on the 7th of November. On the 7th of November, there's a supported needs at work half-day seminar at County Hall. And basically, it's a half-day free seminar talking about hiring people with supported needs from two points of view. We talked about with Nettie earlier about the shortage of skilled staff. There are a lot of talented and skilled people out there that don't get employment opportunities because they have supported needs. They have a disability of one kind or another. And what this workshop is aimed at doing is introducing you to companies that have successfully hired people with supported needs. It's all introducing to you employees that have had supported needs but have found very meaningful work. And it's also hearing from the Kent Supported Needs Group telling you what is available to help employers with supported needs. It's a free workshop at County Hall starting at 9:30 on the 7th of November. And I insist that you come and that you be there because I'm going to be there.
So you've said that three times now. It's obviously something that's very important to you because
yeah,
you do support lots of things, but you don't normally repeat them that often
manically,
and with as much
because it makes me
emphasis.
Mad. I'm actually the president of the Kent Deaf Children's Society, and one of the massive problems that we have with our young people is when they start to leave. We cater for newborns up to the age of 18, but when young deaf adults start to reach the age of 18, everything falls away. There's no support for them anymore. There's no way for them to get into work. You know, it just all falls apart. And that's just not right. Mm-hmm. These young people are very talented people. They have all the range of talents that anybody else have. They just have an issue that they can't hear.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that is easily dealable. If you think about it, increasingly, I was discussing this with Louise yesterday, Louise Henley, who's the chair of the KTCS. Nowadays, new technology has got to the point where you can actually solve a lot of the problems that you had once upon a time anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, and also, a lot of the current type roles you could do very easily and very well. So things like social media
management.
Perfect.
Website design,
yes.
All that kind of stuff. That's what I'm saying. And even if you need the ability to communicate, you can do that using a variety of technologies, including the person that keeps trying to ring me while I'm on air at the moment. but basically, there are loads of things you can do, and what we've got to do is start breaking down some of the myths. There are far too many myths about what's involved in hiring someone with supported needs, and most of them are just not true, and that's part of what we're doing on the workshop, 7th of November.
Be there.
So, there you go. I think that brings us to the end of our news update.
Channel Radio News Update.
We got a very quick
Joe's Jams.
It's like a lesson in how do you do it in 30 seconds. I'd just like to recommend an app today. So there's two that do very similar things, one called Momentum, one called
Aren't they a political
Productive.
Party?
Don't interrupt me when
Sorry.
I've got 30 seconds.
Sorry.
Quite true. One called Productive.
I've been told off.
Denise
though.
Will be telling you off on the Twitter later, don't you worry. And if you want to do stuff every day on a regular basis, the apps can be used to help you to track whether you're doing that or not. And I've been using one for a long, long time. And I'm not saying I do everything that's on there every day, but it certainly motivates me to get stuff done so I can tick it off and do it on a consistent basis. So you can do things like eat well, go for a walk, take my tablets is one of the ones on there, or it might be do my French practice, you know, whatever you want to try and do on a consistent habitual basis, you can use those apps for. So Momentum or Productive on the iPhone. I'm not sure whether either of them are available on Android, but do have a look.
Cool.
Or search for apps for, I can't think what the word is.
Productivity.
Yeah, that's not what I mean though. But anyway, yes, that.
Whatever. You've run out of your 30 seconds anyway. Cool. Do that. It just leads me to tell you what's coming up later on Channel Radio. At 7 p.m. tonight, we have
Welcome all to the New Potatoes Show.
18 tracks of new, unsigned, up-and-coming music with Mr. Jamie Andrews on the New Potatoes Show. That's followed at that's from 7 p.m. until 9 p.m. At 9 p.m. we have our comedy music show. I was Lord Kitchener's valet that focuses on a hilarious year of 1967, which was apparently a very funny year. And then, as always, on a Tuesday night, we finish off at 10 o'clock with...
It's Club Culture.
Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker.
I don't know what's going on here. It keeps doing that, playing two things at once.
So you're not on again tonight, then?
No. Well, it is on. Can't even find it again.
Can I just say I like the New Potatoes jingle? I just love that. It reminds me of Metal Mickey.
Okay. Well, let's
I'm
play.
Filling in.
Anyway, finishing off at 10 o'clock.
It's Club Culture with Boy George.
One, two, three, get down.
Cool drum beat at the squidgy bass. I give you Vanilla Ace and it rhymes. That means I'm right on time. Welcome to Club Culture where I control my very own dance universe. 1 hour or more of grooving delectables for your disco pleasure. I'm Boy George.
It's 1 hour of delectable, delicious dance music. It's Club Culture with Boy George on Channel Radio.
So as always, we finish off on a Tuesday night at 10 o'clock with a Club Culture show with Mr. Boy George. So do stay tuned to channelradio.co.uk. But that's the end of another week's show on the Business Bunker Show. I'd just like to say a huge thank you to all of our guests, Mr.